Adam? Something wrong?
Oh,
okay.
Sure, it's not too great.
Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to see each one of you here this morning, and those of you that have joined us in live streaming. I'm thankful to be before you this morning. I do have a message that I believe that the Lord has impressed upon my heart. I'm sorry to know that our brother Jay is not feeling well, and I hope and pray that we pray for him, that he would recover quickly. And so does Chris, I know, and his family. Okay, the title of the sermon, Are We Ready? It was two Saturdays ago. It was in the afternoon, late afternoon. I was doing my normal walk through the neighborhood, and there was this wind that was coming from the south and a little bit from the east, and it was blowing, and I could see the trees, and I was feeling the temperature was a little different, and I could see that there was something coming, right? And it was approaching. You could see those signs that the weather was going to change. It had been warm and stuff, and now it seemed like there was going to be a change. And sure enough, on Sunday evening, when we walked out the door, it was 77 degrees. Now, no laughing out there on live stream from Missouri. 77 is cool to us, right, Jerry? Very cool. And so we really appreciated that. But when I saw that, the Spirit of the Lord just rested upon me and gave me some thoughts. And that's these thoughts here. Now, typical for me, I want to step through these scriptures. All right, I've broken them down. Words mean something, okay? And I've broken them down so you could focus on the words. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on some things that you're going to find. It's something that you can study on your own, but it's the things that we believe in. But it's more, I'm getting to the point of what I believe the Lord had impressed upon my heart. So let's see if we can get started here. Turn this the right way. The first scripture, it's in Daniel in the 7th chapter. The Son of Man brought near to the Ancient of Days. It was the vision that Daniel had. Here in the 7th chapter, the 13th verse, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. There's a whole lot I could talk about concerning this one verse of scripture, concerning the character of Elohim, as we read in the first chapter of Genesis, or gods in the beginning of time. We see this vision. So there's something going on here that Daniel is seeing, and it's something very important to us as well. Then in the 14th verse, it says, there was given him a dominion, glory, and a kingdom. It's very important because all this occurred before the creation ever was. This was the plan. And Daniel is seeing kind of a type of how it unfolded prior to the creation. That all people, nations, and languages should serve him, the Son of God, the Son of Man. It's important to remember he was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And that's different from our realm, our reality. We know that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. But this kingdom will never be destroyed. There was spiritual war. We know it as the apostasy. Those of you kids and young people and all of us who grew up and we were learning about history or whatever, we called it the Dark Ages. And they were truly dark. Because if you look at some of the things that were taking place during that time, it was very dark. There was no light there. Here in Revelation 13, 7 through 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Words mean something. It was given unto him, that was the beast, okay, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, why would God do such a thing? Well, we know that in Revelation it says that it flew into the wilderness to be fed by the wilderness, which we understand that is the church was fed by the world, the things of the world. That's how we understand that. And power was given him over all nations, tongues, and nations, that's during the dark ages. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. You need to understand this completely. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But this is where Daniel saw it, an event that was going to happen. Christ said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of the world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Spiritual war. The restored church, Revelation 17:13-14. "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." It's going to be a war. Verse 14, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful." This is going down that path from the title, "Are We Ready?" Okay? This is the groundwork. All right? Those of you that have made a covenant with God, those who are thinking about it, those who have felt the Spirit urging you to come and to taste and to experience the things that God has for those who love Him, who choose Him, and are faithful to follow Him. So the promise, the kingdom which shall never be destroyed, right? Daniel 2, verse 44. "And in those days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." That was the promise. Remember, Christ was given, he was given dominion and a kingdom and glory. "And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever." That fulfilled something. He saw it in 500 and something BC. And it was fulfilled, that Nebuchadnezzar's dream, when Daniel was interpreting it, was given the interpretation thereof. There was 10 kingdoms that represented a great image, and it stood complete in February 3rd, 1830, when the plenipotentiaries of Great Britain, France, and Russia declared Greece an independent sovereign state under their joint protection. So, what did Daniel see? He saw this great statue, and it represented 10 kingdoms. And when that statue stood, there was going to be a kingdom that would come that would never be destroyed. We believe this to be the restored church of Christ. Again, that's for you to study about it and think about it. The promise, this is the important part. Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given, what? To the people of the saints of the Most High. Think about that. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All dominions shall serve and obey him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto his hand. We know we're under the lordship of Christ, he being the head. We being those under that head are all part of that kingdom, adopted heirs, sons and daughters of God, of Christ. That's the promise. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So in John 3:5, he was telling before he had made that sacrifice. Matthew 20:18 is after his resurrection. He was talking to them, fulfilling the words of the prophecy. So, a message to the church. I know your works. I know thy works. Revelation 3. We're going to go through this, 7 through 13. I know thy works. Thou hast a little strength. Do you feel like that? Insignificant? Small compared to the world? But the understanding God has given us. And just a glimpse of the immensity of the weight that's been placed upon our shoulders to be a light unto the children of men in the day that we live. To have this Spirit within our hearts, within us, being the temple of God. Thou hast a little strength. Hast kept my word. Very important thing. Hast not denied my name. Because thou hast the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. There's the promise. That's the promise. Do you believe it? If you made a covenant with God, do you believe those words? I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Each one of you, no matter who you are, when you come to the realization old enough to think and to make decisions on your own, which shall come upon all the world, and it's to try them that dwell upon the earth. I know thy works. That's the preface to this whole thing. I know thy works. He can see. He's omnipresent, all-powerful, and all-knowing. The word of my patience, the word there, is the divine expression. That's what that means. That was used in the second chapter of Genesis for the first time. Christ was the divine expression of the Father because he was in the flesh. The word of my patience, hopeful, constancy, patient continuance. We do serve a loving Savior that is very patient and long-suffering. And he knows and understands because he experienced those things in the flesh to know how to succor us in our life. As we continue in that book of Revelation, the 11th verse, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In the world we live in, there's a lot of diversions, a lot of things that can take our minds and hearts away from God. And it's so easy to slip in. We have to be very careful. That's why he says, hold fast. Hang on to it. Don't let it slip out of your hands. That no man can take thy crown. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. So what does that mean, a pillar? Well, in a temple, a pillar is for support, but it's also something that is a part of the temple. And so it is, if we read in Paul's writings, it says, you are the temple of the living God. If you have made that covenant and received the gift of the Holy Ghost that resides within you, you are that temple. You become a part of it. And this is the image that we're seeing here. And he shall go no more out, meaning that you will not leave that or not become another part of something else. You will always be a part of the temple or you will be out. Right? In John, well, let me see here. In John 2:19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would remain with us. That is what that's talking about. I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Sometimes I think that this may be because we have of the Book of Mormon, that maybe this is the New Jerusalem that is to be here in the Americas. It has a similar description. And all the commentaries that write about, well, this can't be so because, you know, Jerusalem exists and everything, but we have a better understanding of that. That the New Jerusalem and Jerusalem will come down from heaven both. I will write upon him my name. In Revelation, we have an understanding in the second chapter in the 17th verse, it says, and we'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I think that's interesting. Our uniqueness that God had created us in this world will be continued in the world to come. A uniqueness with our unique name. Isn't that beautiful? Can you think of that? So we come to the parable of the 10 virgins. I know thy works. Here in Matthew in the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13, I'm just going to cover certain areas here. Verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Speaking of the return of Christ, right? Again, going back, hearkening to the title, are we ready? 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish took their lamps and took their oil with them. So let's stop here. What are lamps for? To have light, right? So that we can see in the dark. So the 5 wise had lamps and they had oil. They've been using them, all of them, actually all of them used it. But what are we supposed to be doing? To let our light shine before the world. And what does that mean? They should be able to see Christ in us. He's the light. That was the very first thing that was created, Genesis 1:1. And there was light. And God said it was good. Wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They all slumbered and slept. So don't chuckle and think, oh, I'm not going to go to sleep. They all. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom come. Go ye out to meet him. Continuing in 7th verse, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. I could probably see that. But the wise answered and saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. I think we have an example in the scriptures as to answer this or to look at it in this way. In Revelation 3:18, it was the message to the church of Laodicea. In the 18th verse of that third chapter, I counsel thee, who is doing the counseling? The Lord himself. To buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. What does that mean? That through the blood of Christ, repenting and humbling ourselves before our God and acknowledging our weaknesses, he has assured us that his blood will purify us and lift us up and strengthen us and help us in our walk in life, that our remnants might become white through the blood of the Lamb, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes. Why? With eye salve. That you might see very clearly, that thou mayest see. Come to that understanding of the power of Christ in his word, in the lives of the children of men, being applied individually through the word that has been given us. Continuing in the 10th verse of that parable, it says, and while they went to buy, goodness, the bride came, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Remember the Lord's words, he'll open and he'll shut the door. It's his prerogative. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. There was no relationship there. So there was no obligation there upon with Christ. Everybody doesn't get a ticket to enter. Only those that have that true relationship according to the word of God through the power of Christ can enter in. Period. No exceptions. That's not my law. That was the plan from the very beginning. And Christ is executing it. He's been given all that power and authority to do so. An example, again, Laodicea. So we can see. Let's look at what it says there in the 17th verse of Revelation 3. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, I increased with goods, and have no need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Those were those five foolish that tried to knock on the door and said, open up. They would not be able to go in. Questions we must ask ourselves. Now we're coming to, are we ready? In the book of Alma, in the third chapter, this is the son of Alma. If you remember correctly, he had a spiritual experience. He rebelled against his father, him and some other boys, sons of Messiah. They really rebelled. And they were rebelling to the point where it was actually destroying the church. And their parents and those who loved them entered in mighty prayer and fasting for them, that God might help them to see the light. And the son of Alma, he was stricken for 3 days. And he had this experience. So this is somebody that knows, because he has seen it. And he is preaching. He's taking the helm of his father as high priest, because his father has passed. And now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? That's a good question. We need to ask ourselves, are we still? Has that happened to us? What does that mean? If you don't fully understand it, you need to start studying the scriptures. In Romans, in the 12th chapter 1 and 2, it kind of gives you a good example. It says, in the first verse, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is holy and acceptable before God. That's a reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed, which is a complete other sermon. That means to be changed into something different than what you are. Totally. Like a caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. Totally changed. Unrecognizable from the first state. Has that happened to you? Have you received his image in your countenance? Are you being that light? Have you experienced the mighty change in your heart? Is that the Spirit of God? Is it directing you in your life? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith? And you view yourself, your mortal body, raised in immortality. And this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body. It's hard to imagine, but have you thought? Have you given that thought? I know thy works. Continuing in Alma, The dissertation is between Alma 31 through 60, but I'm just picking parts from it. Verse 36, I say unto you, can you look up to God at that day when with a pure heart and a clean hands? When you look at those questions, you need to judge it, base it on this. Or are you going to excuse yourself? I say unto you, can you look up, having the image of God engraven upon your countenance? I say unto you, can you think of being saved when you have yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil? All these are good questions that we need to be asking ourselves in our walk of life. And if there's something that we say, well, goodness, I failed there, well, we have opportunity to make a change in our life. But we need to be doing this on a continuous basis. Or we deceive ourselves, thinking that, hey, I'm okay. Nothing's wrong here. I don't see anything wrong. But what are you basing it on? Your thoughts or the Word of God? I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved. For there can be no man be saved except his garments are washed white. The two books are a witness. Speak the same language, the same words. As we continue in verse 46, it says, and now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if you have experienced a change of heart, and if you felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? And so the common thing here is to ask, when you were baptized, how did you feel when you come up out of the water? And when you were able to come and the elders laid their hands upon your head and gave you the gift of the Holy Ghost, what was in your heart and mind at that moment? Do you feel so now? Right? That's a good question. What's changed? God or you? Have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God? That's a daily thing, minute by minute sometimes, especially when you're driving, right? For me, it is. My wife reminds me all the time. Could you say if you were called to die at this time within yourself that you have been sufficiently humble? Ready to listen to the Word of God and to be receptive to His Spirit? What's the promise? His Spirit is there to what? To comfort, to strengthen, correct, and counsel, right? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come, what? To redeem His people. I should have made this real big. From your sins. Not meaning that when you die, He's going to throw them away, but that when you're walking this life, you are giving them to Him and He's taking them from you. Cleansing you as you go, step by step, throughout your life. That you've turned them over to your God. They become dead to you. You are no longer afflicted by them. All of us have weaknesses, and it goes from the day we realize and start seeing our weaknesses to the day that we die. That process is going to be going through. It's important to understand that. So in Alma 2:16-26, and now my brethren, I would that after a time to prepare to meet God, is the title. I would that after you have received so many witnesses. What are the witnesses? Well, there's lots of them. You have the witnesses that we have in the canon of Scripture. We have the witnesses of those who have experienced it that we can tell you, hey, this is something real. You have the witnesses of God's power and authority in the world. You just have to open your eyes to see it. Seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify these things come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. That's what he's asking, that we bring forth fruit unto repentance, meaning that we put away those things and we are now walking that path. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts, which is something Satan wants to really do. And we see it in the children of men all around us. Any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if you will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall that great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. Meaning that that is the beginning of your walk, your spiritual walk, when you acknowledge his lordship, his kingdom, his power and authority given of him of his Father. The slide that I read at the very beginning. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. That's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of life. We are to prepare to meet God. We're going to live and die. We all know. We were born, we're going to die. But we die physically, but our spirit does not die. It returns to the God who created us. And this is the life and the time to prepare to meet him. When every soul, human from Adam, will returns to the God who created him. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. Meaning, the choices that you make in your life, what kind of choices are you going to make? And what is going to be your guide in making them? Well, that's not nice. Oh, goodness. In the words of Paul, let us run with patience for the joy that was set before him. I really appreciate this scripture verse, so let's look at this. Hebrews in the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, because we're right at the end. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, again, talking about those witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. And I hope you can all relate to that. How you do something and immediately you know you've done something stupid and you go, gosh, I did it again. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, there's a race for us because this day is the day of our probation from birth to death, and that race is time flies. In a blink of an eye, I was sitting right there in 1977, and now it's 2023. I think, Chris, you were playing the piano, maybe. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But anyhow, that's how quick it can go by. But set before us, we have been given this life for a purpose to choose. And that's the race that's set before us. But let's look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him. Goodness gracious. He came in the flesh. He lived a kind of decent life for 30 years. The next three were horrible in our eyes. The very last one was the worst. For the joy? What was in his heart? He knew the plan. He knew about that plan in the beginning. And he had to be strengthened. We find that in Luke in the 9th chapter. When he was in the flesh, he had to be strengthened. When Peter, James, and John went up the mountain to pray. And when they were praying, Moses and Elijah came and spoke to Christ. What were they talking to him about? His decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. He had to be strengthened because he was in the flesh. The divine expression of God. He endured the cross, he despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand in the throne of God. And we have the same promise. That we can live with him forever. It's our choice. May God bless each one of you in that choice. This is what was given to me two Saturdays ago. As an encouragement. God has a plan. And he has all power and authority given of his Father. And if we follow him, we will be with him. Because we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. May God bless you, is my prayer.